honest tea. Knowing what fun it will be. Soon the starter will call me to the first tee.
Just 1 week in April, but a week Sergio Garcia will never forget. Hi, and welcome to the Guru Room Golf Show and Podcast, powered by Vertical Groove Golf, the new face of golf. I'm Bob Bubka, proud to be here with my main man, Jay Randolph Jr. Jay, what an exciting finish to the first major of the year.
It sure was, Bob. We looked like kind of midway through the round that it might end up with Justin Rose just kind of walk into victory, with Sergio kind of fall into the same trap he has before. And then all of a sudden, it got great late. We had a little extra golf, and you got to take your hat off to Sergio Garcia. I we'll talk about it more, but I think the keyhole was number 13 when he salvaged a par when it could have been a lot worse, and I think that showed a lot of maturity. And I thought it was a fantastic Masters. I think that Sergio has been waiting for this. A lot of Sergio fans have been waiting for it. And his maturity in the last couple of years of his growth showed mentally, and his game was on point as well.
Yeah, and what you were referencing to, Jay, and certainly was a point well made. On the 13th hole, he hit his drive, but he pulled it just a little bit. It was only 3 or 4 yards away from his intended target line. But it hits a tree, drops down. He has to take an unplayable, hacks it out, gets it up on the green, and makes that par that you said, Jay. And I agree with you that had to, you know, turn it around for him, because a disaster there, and then it would have been a cakewalk for, you know, Justin Rose to claim his first green jacket.
No question about it. And I think the other thing that you saw there is just a little microcosm of the new Sergio, was he didn't get that upset. And you're right, he didn't really hit that bad a drive. I think he got a bad break, and especially where it ended up. But, you know, Sergio did not, you know, he did not lose it there. He took it in stride. He gathered himself, and he made a par, which had to feel like a birdie, and I think it gave him a lot of momentum down the stretch.
You know, one thing that certainly Sergio vindicated anybody that said he didn't have what it takes to win a major. There's so many X factors that go into winning majors. I mean, it's not just solely based on how you play. I mean, you can play an unbelievable round of 3 or 4 under, and your opponent shoots 5 or 6 under, and you're toast that week. So a lot of variables that you don't have direct control over. But it hurt Sergio as a human being. It really did, that people thought that he didn't have enough, he didn't have it inside of him. And there was another aspect, Jay, and I want to bring this up with you, the fact that, you know, Victor, his dad, has been his only coach through, you know, when he was a young lad and up to, you know, being the adult player that he is now. There were whispers in the background, not necessarily directly at Sergio. There was always a little hush about, boy, if Sergio had another instructor, then he would be able to break through and get that win. And he was loyal to his dad. He knew his dad was doing the right thing. And finally, he was able to convince the masses, let's say, that Victor, his dad, was good enough to coach a major winner.
Well, and they have not had the easiest of relationships either. I mean, I've been on the golf course in Akron, where they're chirping at each other, and Sergio tells him to get off the golf course. And I think, again, that goes back to where Sergio is at in this place right now. He sits in with his new relationship, with her family, with Victor. I just think it's all come together, and it takes guys sometimes a little longer to mature than others. And it's hard to believe that he was 0 for 73, and this August it'll be 18 years to the hop, skip, and the jump in Chicago, and no more. There'll be no more best player never to win a major, Sergio Garcia. He's got his, and he's got his green jacket.
And let's give a listen to what he had to say about that impressive victory.
And, you know, I was playing well. I was very calm. much calmer than yesterday. Much calmer than I've felt probably in any major championship on Sunday. So obviously Justin wasn't making it easy. He was playing extremely well, but I knew what I was capable of doing, and I believed that I could do it. And thanks to that, I was able to do it.
You know, Jay, just listening to him, you get the sense of relief that Sergio Garcia had to feel when he finally climbs that mountain. I'm sure as a youngster with his idol being Sebi Ballesteros, oh, we forgot to mention that point. It was Sergio's 60th birthday on Sunday when Sergio won that green jacket. Sebi would have been 60 years old. The assistance that he's gotten all along from Jose Maria Alafable, in fact, a very important text message to Sergio, Jay, came in on Wednesday night, and Sergio said that he will keep the context of that message to himself, but it was along the lines of, you know, Jose Maria Alafable saying to him, you have what it takes, just go prove it to the world.
No doubt about it. I think those two gentlemen, so key in Sergio's life and his golfing career, that he draws on that, and obviously with the 60th birthday for 70, I mean, for six, would have been 60 years old on Sunday's final round, that has to make it even more special. Bob, what I liked in this day and age of pumping your own chest and patting yourself on the back, it would have been real easy for Sergio to walk in that media center and before he started taking questions just say, you guys were wrong, you were wrong, I got mine, but he didn't. He handled it like a champion and like he was supposed to be there, just like the two Spaniards before him, Sebi Ballesteros and Jose Maria Olazabal.
Well said, Jay. Well said. And now let's listen to what Sergio thinks, what he was most proud of in his win.
Definitely a demonstration of my character and my mentality. You know, how positive I stayed, even when things weren't going that well on 10 and 11. Even on 13, I didn't hit that bad a drive. I mean, I've been hitting that drive every day, you know, like a high cut. This drive was probably going 3 yards left of the ones I've hit the other 3 days, and unfortunately hit the tree and went in the bush. But even that, you know, in the past, I would have started going, you know, at my caddy and, oh, you know, why doesn't it go through? And but, you know, I was like, well, if that's what is supposed to happen, let it happen. Let's try to make a great five here and see if we can put a hell of a finish to have a chance. And if not, we'll shake Justin's hand and congratulate him for winning. So I think that that I've been doing very well throughout the whole week, and it's something that I need to keep improving and keep getting better at it.
Some powerful words from the winner, Sergio Garcia. And Jay, I think he alluded to the fact that he's been getting some help in the mental department, and it could be from the Akins family. Angela Akins, she played golf at the University of Texas. Her father, Marty Akins, University of Texas All-American quarterback, the grandfather, a legendary Texas high school football coach, simply known as Coach Ray Akins. So, you know, when you have that kind of support in your inner circle, it has to do wonderful things for you.
Well, you know, we talked about it in the opening segment, and you could hear it in Sergio's voice. I don't know whether it's maturity or whether it's a calmness, but clearly, I mean, he gave you the scenario that we talked about, Bob, in the early portion of the show, where in the past, he might have lost it where that tee ball ended up on 13. He said we'd start attacking the caddy, or how can I get a break like this? And that demeanor and that attitude of, hey, it's here, I have to make the best of it, and do whatever I can to win this golf tournament. If I don't, I don't. But I think that shows a lot of that mental aspect that clearly his fiance and their family and Sergio's approach has changed a lot. And that, I think, may have been more important than anything was the mental aspect.
Well, the 81st Masters came to a conclusion, not at the end of 72 holes, though. They had to go extra holes in a sudden-death playoff, and Sergio had this to say.
For some reason, when I get into playoffs, usually, now, lately, I'm quite comfortable. I feel like Afore had an amazing week, no matter what happens, and I can go out there and kind of freewheel it, and obviously, he took great shots and a wonderful putt to finish with.
A lot of pride in that description. And you know, one thing, Jay, certainly went out of his way, to congratulate, his opponent. I mean, he wasn't, as you said earlier, he wasn't pumping his chest, and he didn't use that occasion to put down Justin Rose. So I was proud of the way he handled himself on the golf course, probably equally as proud as the way he handled himself in front of the media after getting that first major championship.
Vertical Groove Golf's vertical grooves on the face of the club produce a tighter dispersion, less spin, and greater distance, and we're all looking for that combination. John Daly and Rocco Media are playing the Vertical Groove Golf Driver on the PGA Tour Champions, along with many others. You should be playing it. Go to vertgolf.com, that's vertgolf.com, to customize your new driver and feel the difference. It's Vertical Groove Golf, the new face of golf.
As you know, the Grill Room, powered by the new face of golf, Vertical Groove Golf, and we are proud also to be entertaining the active men and women in the military, both at home and around the world, as part of the Armed Forces Radio Network. Okay, Jay, Justin Rose, what a performance by him.
Outstanding play by Justin Rose. You could really look at two instances, I guess. The second shot at 17, which led to the bogey, and maybe his tee shot on the 73rd hole, but Justin Rose represented himself so well. And we had talked about leading into this Masters the record 11 Englishmen that were in the field, and Justin led the way, and he looked like he was going to get his second major. But I think that pairing of Justin Rose and Sergio Garcia really helped Sergio. The fact that they had played together, they'd been Ryder Cup teammates. I think it was a lot different atmosphere for Sergio than it might have been if it was Fowler or Spieth paired with him. But Justin Rose, you still got to feel he's going to get that second major at some point.
Yeah, but that's some keen insight, Jay. Playing with somebody that you're very comfortable with, they both admire each other. There was no animosity. You could see that clearly while they were out on the golf course. They're congratulating each other on good shots. The fascinating thing to me, and I need your opinion on this, Jay, the fascinating thing to me was it was you could see that they were having a good time. I mean, they're in the biggest pressure cooker in the world of golf, back nine on Sunday at the Masters, and yet there were smiles and thorough pleasure by the two competitors. I thought it was tremendous.
Well, and that's something that Sergio has not usually seen in a major championship, in a finale. And I'm not saying that Spieth or Fowler would have been the cause of it, but if you'd have had an American player in that final pairing with Sergio, I mean, I don't know that Sergio might have had the support that he did down the stretch. Not that it may have mattered, but I really think that the demeanor of both guys really benefited both of them and ended up separating them from the pack, from your man Thomas Peters.
And one thing that the performance of those two individuals, as I alluded to, in the ultimate pressure cooker in golf, it certainly was good for golf, and let's give a listen to what Justin Rose has to say about that.
Yeah, no, it's going to sting for sure, but I really feel like this is a tournament that I can still go on to win. So I'd like to win three or four green jackets, but one would be enough. I just want to win here. So I have plenty more looks, and I feel good about it happening. So I look forward. For me, golf's about April to September. That's where the big tournaments are. That's where the tournaments that change your career are. So this was the first one of four. And I feel motivated for the summer, and I will be moving on and setting goals very quickly after this.
Pretty good stuff from Justin Rose, and of course he'll have his sights set now on the upcoming United States Open. He already won one at Marion. He thinks that, you know, down the road he's probably going to win a green jacket. He certainly has a lot of confidence along those aspects, and as well he should. You know, when you look at Justin Rose's game closely, you see that he has everything necessary, Jay, to get the job done at Augusta.
Well, and let's not forget, Bob, I mean, he burst on the scene in 98 when Marco Mira got his second major championship at the British Open, and then Justin struggled. He may have turned pro too early, and it took him a couple of years. I mean, people wondered about, is this guy going to make it? So he's faced adversity, and he knows how to win now, and I think you're right. I think if he doesn't win a green jacket, there will be another time where he's definitely in contention going into the final round. And I love his honesty. I mean, he said, hey, this one's going to hurt. But it's not one of those that he threw away or that he caused himself some mistake. I think both guys, Bob, thought they made their putts on the 72nd hole. And I thought Justin might end up making his for par and really put me on Sergio in the playoff. But good stuff from Justin.
Yeah, and he brings up a good point that it's just not that easy to win.
I can't pick holes in my performance. I felt fantastic out there. I felt cool, calm, collected. Could I have made the putt at 17? Of course I could. But, you know, for the most part, I'm not going to hear I'm going to second-guess one or two shots. I really stepped up. I really felt great. I felt in control. I felt positive. I felt confident. And, you know, barring a great comeback from Sergio, it was mine to cruise to the house. But, you know, it's not always that easy.
Well, he certainly drives home a very valid point. And all those players that have never tasted victory in a major know exactly what Justin Rose is talking about. As you know, the Grill Room, powered by the new face of golf, Vertical Groove Golf, and we're proud to be entertaining the active men and women in the military, both at home and around the world, as part of the Armed Forces Radio Network.
When we come back, we'll talk about the man who made an ace on Sunday, and boy, it was magical, and some of the other players that were near the top of the leaderboard at Augusta. You're listening to the Grill Room Golf Show, powered by the new face of golf, Vertical Groove Golf.
You're listening to the Grill Room. Situated in central St. Louis resides the oldest public golf course west of the Mississippi, Normandy Golf Club. Opened in 1901 and designed by the renowned Fowlis Brothers of Scotland, this old gem has played host to Babe Ruth, Mickey Rooney, and the great Babe Zaharias. History lives and breathes at the Rock, as Normandy is affectionately known. A mixture of long and short holes in a tree-lined atmosphere challenge golfers of all skill levels. The 18th hole at Normandy, well, it's as tough a par three as you'll find, measuring 251 yards from the back tee. In 2015, a renewed commitment was made to this unique property under the direction of Walters Golf Management. Affordable rates and top-notch service is what you'll find at Normandy Golf Club. The facility uses a unique dynamic pricing structure that golfers seem to love. If your travels bring you to St. Louis, make sure to make a tee time at The Rock. To learn more, check out normandygolf.com or call 314-862-4884 and enjoy old-school golf at its finest.
Hi, I'm Ernie Els. Autism is not game over, it is game on. Get educated and learn the facts. Please learn the early warning signs on our website, elsforautism.com, and talk to your doctor about an autism screening if you have any concerns.
The Grill Room is thrilled to support the Golf Course Superintendents Association of America and all superintendents doing great work for the game we all love. In fact, we call them the unsung heroes in golf. Now, here's what Sir Charles Barkley has to say.
If you love the game like I do, say thanks to a great golf course superintendent.
A message from the Golf Course Superintendents Association of America and local superintendents everywhere.
Welcome back to the Grill Room.
Great to have you with us on the Grill Room, powered by the new face of golf, Vertical Groove Golf. Learn more at vertgolf.com.
Well, there were definitely some other bright spots on Sunday in that final round. And right away, Matt Kuchar comes to mind after making that unbelievable hole-in-one on the famous 16th hole. Jay, he did something that was so good for golf, so good for one particular fan. Tell the story.
He makes a hole-in-one at one of the most famous par threes in the world. He's vaulted himself at that point into true contention, depending on what he does on 17 and 18. And instead of, you know, looking at his yardage book or talking with his caddy, he picks up the ball from the cup and he takes it over to a young man who is standing, who was in the gallery with his father. They probably put their seats out at about 7 o'clock. They've been seeing everybody come through. And all of a sudden, this guy makes a hole-in-one. He takes the time to sign the golf ball and go make that kid's Masters. And that's something that kid will have for the rest of his life. He'll be sitting at a bar when he's 65 telling the people, hey, you're not going to believe what happened in the 2017 Masters. They may not believe it.
Yeah, and he probably was a hero when he got back to school on Monday. The TV cameras certainly focused on him. But I want to know what Matt Kuchar had to say about his hole-in-one.
Oh, what a thrill. It's funny. That hole's given me problems in the past. I typically play a fade, and to that left pin, I've seemed to be on the right side more often than not with very challenging two putts. And said this year, go ahead and release it. Don't worry about the water. And just flushed a shot that went straight at it. It looked great the whole way. It certainly was such a thrill. And you kind of have the build-up, which is so much fun, the anticipation. And it, more often than not, the ball slides by. And it was kind of pandemonium on the tee box. And what a thrill.
Certainly. It couldn't happen to a nicer guy. Matt Kuchar got to know his family when he won the United States Amateur, I believe, way back in 1998. In Chicago. So Matt's been around for a long time, and I think he certainly has to be in the discussion, Jay, of now one of the players, best player never to win a major.
Well, especially on the U.S. side, there's no question about that. I think he's in that role. And I've always kind of felt like it would be the Masters or the U.S. Open, where he obviously showed as an amateur, he was ready to maybe have the opportunity to do that. I'd like to see Kuchar get a major before it's all over.
Yeah, it would be good for the game of golf. He's certainly one of the good people out there. He showed his mettle when he took that golf ball. A lot of players would want to keep it as an important souvenir. Matt Kuchar thought it was important to give it to that young fan. A nice gesture by Matt. And certainly a little more than a gesture, Jay. A former Green Jacket winner, Charles Schwartzel, from, South Africa, he posted a pair of weekend 68s to show that, hey, when he won by birdieing his last four holes, that wasn't a fluke.
No fluke at all. And I love the pairing on Sunday with the two Green Jacket holders, Adam Scott and Charles Schwartzel. I thought both those guys would play well. Scott did not play as well. Schwartzel playing the best over the weekend with a pair of 68s. And he hasn't played his best golf the last couple of years, but this may get him going for the rest of the season. And let me give you credit. I know the thing that worried you the most was the fact that it was his first Masters, and nobody has won the Masters in their first attempt since 1979 and Fuzzy Zeller. You like Thomas Peters, and boy, did he like Augusta.
Yeah, he fired that final round, 68. And I think this is a young man that has a tremendous upside in the world of professional golf. He's a little over 6'5". He's a former NCAA champion. His light never shined as bright as it did at the last Ryder Cup, the first time that a Ryder Cup rookie wins 4 points in one Ryder Cup. He showed me he has everything that it takes. What about that mid-amateur champion, Jay? A big surprise there.
Well, it's awesome. It's awesome for folks that don't know, mid-amateur golfers that play in the mid-amateur championship are 25 years and over. And one of the newbies, if you will, Stuart Hagestad, just 25 years of age when he won the mid-amateur, still 25, becomes the first mid-am champion to make the cut in the Masters. obviously the first mid-am champ to be the low amateur in the Masters. And he told his caddy he just wanted to enjoy the experience. Well, my goodness, didn't he? And it's great for those guys that are in that 25 to 40 category that play in a lot of different invitationals around the country. I've got a friend here in St. Louis, Skip Berkmeyer, who plays in those type of events. And I think all those guys really proud of the representation that this 25-year-old playing as a mid-amateur champion showed at the Masters.
And I think that performance probably will be enough to propel him onto the Walker Cup team. He wants to represent the United States. I think he'd be a great addition to that squad. Okay, Jay, what about the others and the conditions? Everyone will remember the final day, which was beautiful, but tough day for the par 3 contest at Augusta.
Yeah, it really was. I had mentioned last week on the show my two assistants from Normandy Golf Club here in St. Louis were going to make the trek down.
Yeah, Jay?
And I was able to get them some tickets for Tuesday's practice round, and thank goodness they went on Tuesday because Monday was a bust. And Wednesday was tough. I know, Bob, you saw some folks that were out on Wednesday and made a long trip to get there.
Yeah, they really did. What happened on Tuesday night, came across some golf fans, and I mean golf fans because they came from South Africa. They told me it was 32 hours in the plane for them to get to Augusta. And I said, how many day tickets do you have? They said, oh, no. Just Wednesday, but that'll be enough. And then due to the weather, they were out on the golf course no more than maybe an hour and 15 minutes, maybe not even that much. And I was so worried that they were going to be depressed and upset about what transpired. And when I saw them on Wednesday night, I said, golly, guys, I'm sorry that you didn't get to spend more time out there. And they said, hey, we love golf. That 32-hour flight, and we got to spend 1 hour on the grounds of Augusta National, we're thrilled to death. I mean, that's the overall reaction, Jay, and you witnessed it firsthand many, many times. I mean, if you love golf, I don't even think today is too late to maybe start planning to go to Augusta next year. I mean, there are various routes, and you can stay various days, but if you love golf, if you got that in your heart and soul, your feet have to touch the surface of Augusta National at least one time. You agree, Jay?
You can't describe it to anybody, Bob. You can try, but it doesn't do it justice. My young assistant kept saying to me, well, tell me what it's like. And I said, listen, man, I could tell you a bunch of stuff, but until you feel that place underneath your feet, like you said, Bob, and look around and look at the elevation changes and look at my other assistant, he said he even had to reach down and pick up a blade of grass because he thought it was AstroTurf. It was so perfect. And I said, well, now you know. And like you said, anybody out there that has the wherewithal or could pull it off, if you've ever thought about it, don't sleep on it because it's just an incredible place to be. Yeah, St. Andrews is awesome, and Pebble Beach is awesome, but there's just something about Augusta.
Yeah, and you brought up a good point there. When you look at the grass, it doesn't look like grass because your first reaction, and I've been there many, many, many years, you've been there a lot, you say, wait a minute, that grass can't be real. I mean, they have a different color green. I mean, they don't leave anything to chance down there. They had some problems with the azaleas 2 weeks before this year's event, and the azaleas are the highlight of you know, people's visit. And Chairman Billy Payne, in his Tuesday morning State of the Union message, simply said, you know, we had a severe problem with the azaleas a couple of weeks ago, but about 6 o'clock tonight on Tuesday, all the new flowers will be in place. So it'll be perfect for Wednesday. I hate even to imagine what the flower bill was, but it was tragic. No par 3 contest, as you said, Jay, for the first time. A lot of people look forward to that. But it didn't take long for Justin and Sergio to separate themselves from the others in that heavy wind, and I mean heavy wind. I mean, Augusta National, as you know, a very difficult place to play. Now try playing it in 20, 25-mile-an-hour winds. It's all you can handle.
Well, and some of those greens are protected by trees, and you can't really judge the wind. We see what guys do when they come off 11 to number 12, and they're checking flags. It's really difficult. I was a little surprised on Sunday. My horse had been Fowler going in, and I thought with the way Speeds played and felt so confident after Saturday's round, kind of doing exactly what he wanted, that American duo might be more of a splash on Sunday. They both finished tied for 11th. Charlie Hoffman, who, of course, wowed us with that tremendous opening round in tough conditions. He finished tied for 22nd, but Charlie has shown he plays well at Augusta.
Yeah, Charlie did. I mean, it was so unusual to see Hoffman post a 65 on Thursday, which I thought was absolutely incredible under the conditions. Came back with a 75 on Friday, but was still leading. I mean, you don't shoot 65, 75 just anywhere and continue to lead, but he did. There's another name I want to bring up, Jay, because I truly admire his ability to play the game. He has burst on the scene at 22 years old, already a winner on the PGA Tour, by the name of John Rahm. And I can't help but think that John Rahm, who's from Spain, drew a tremendous amount of appreciation for the victory of Sergio Garcia. John Rahm was one of the first persons to congratulate Sergio when he came off that green. But Rambo, as you call him, Jay, he's got a ton of talent.
No, this is no fluke. And, again, his first Masters, his first tour of this major championship. And, again, I'm still amazed that last summer, I mean, less than a year ago, he was the low amateur at the U.S. Open, and now he's one of the top 10 players in the world. He may not be in the rankings yet, is that, but he is one of the top 10 in the world, and he kept moving his way up and tried to make a Sunday move but didn't do it. Phil was kind of hanging around, but he couldn't keep it up. He finishes tied for 22nd, and while he didn't play very well in the first two rounds, Hideki Matsuyama shot 67 in the final round, and as we've talked about, Bob, the only thing lacking from this young man's trophy case is a major title.
And I think one is definitely in the future. For those that back Sergio Garcia, he paid off an impressive 40-1 odds. That's a wrap for the 81st Masters. As we go to break, we'll hear from John Daly talk about his vertical groove driver and what it has done for his game. And then we'll take a look at what's next on the schedule.
For me, personally, it's a smaller head, which I believe you get more club head speed. I think the heads of the drivers have gotten way too big. You want to take spin off a golf ball, that's the perfect way to do it. It's a vertical groove. I mean, if I miss it, feel like I miss it 20, 30 yards right, it only goes 5 or 10 yards right. If I miss it a little left, it goes. It's like it's self-correcting almost because there's no underspin on it. You only get overspin. And downwind, it goes forever. But it's hard to find a driver that, you know, that you feel comfortable going against the wind and not, you know, usually you feel like you got to hit it really hard. This one, I just swing the same way, and it goes right through the wind. It's got to be the most incredible thing I've ever seen. And, you know, I may not ever been the number one player in the world and won a ton of tournaments, but there's one thing I do know is drivers, and this is the greatest invention in the history of the planet in golf that I've seen in a long time.
Some powerful words by John Daly. He loves that driver. He is hitting it further and straighter, and you could too.
You're listening to The Grill Room.
Situated in central St. Louis resides the oldest public golf course west of the Mississippi, Normandy Golf Club. Opened in 1901 and designed by the renowned Fowler's Brothers of Scotland, this old gem has played host to Babe Ruth, Mickey Rooney, and the great Babe Zaharias. History lives and breathes at The Rock, as Normandy is affectionately known. A mixture of long and short holes in a tree-lined atmosphere challenge golfers of all skill levels. The 18th hole at Normandy, well, it's as tough a par 3 as you'll find, measuring 251 yards from the back tee. In 2015, a renewed commitment was made to this unique property under the direction of Walters Golf Management. Affordable rates and top-notch service is what you'll find at Normandy Golf Club. The facility uses a unique dynamic pricing structure that golfers seem to love. If your travels bring you to St. Louis, make sure to make a tee time at The Rock. To learn more, check out normandygolf.com or call 314-862-4884 and enjoy old-school golf at its finest.
Hi, I'm Ernie Els. Autism is not game over, it is game on. Get educated and learn the facts. Please learn the early warning signs on our website, elsforautism.com, and talk to your doctor about an autism screening if you have any concerns.
Sight is one of our most valued senses. Many cherished memories and important life lessons are acquired through sight. Through the Transitions Healthy Sight for Life Fund, we're reaching out in communities around the world to help people understand and protect their healthy sight. Think about what you'd miss seeing if you lost your eyesight tomorrow, and take steps to protect your vision today. See more at healthysightforlife.org.
Welcome back to the Grill Room.
Now that the first major is in the books, we move on to the Harbortown Golf Links at the Sea Pines Resort on Hilton Head Island, South Carolina, for the RBC Heritage, often known as a decompression tournament after the intense pressure of the Masters. It's a great 2.5-hour drive up from Augusta, and it's an amazing experience, certainly for the players, but a lot of us in the media, you know, you get that first mile out of Augusta, and you feel a little less tense, and then 10, 20, 100 miles, 200 miles, and then you pull into Paradise. And if anybody knows about Paradise, Gamecock, J. Randall Jr. went to the University of South Carolina. Tell us what makes that area so special, Jay.
It's the people. It's the way of life. Things move a little slower in the low country down in South Carolina. You better not be in too big a hurry. And if you're smart like we were back in the day, you, me, and Janice heading up to the Palmetto Golf Club in Aiken before you make your way to Harbortown, that's how you really do it. But Harbortown is a wonderful spot. And like you mentioned, it is kind of that week where, yeah, I mean, it's still a big golf tournament. You want to win that tartan jacket. They've had so many great champions. Davis used to kind of own it. Hale Irwin used to play good with those good iron shots because these greens are so small. But South Carolina loves its golf. And now with Dustin Johnson and the Bryan brothers, and, you know, it's almost like a religion down there in South Carolina. And it's important for the economy, too. And this is one of the great tournaments on the PGA Tour. You're right, Bob.
It really is. It's just special on and off the golf course. The dining is absolutely incredible. This is going to be the 49th playing, and Brendan Grace is the defending champion. And if I talk about the golf course, I have to tell you, tight fairways, small greens, a good ball striker's track.
Well, now that you're up to date on the world of golf, that's it for this week. You're listening to The Grill Room, powered by Vertical Groove Golf, the new face of golf, and heard on KTRS, the Big 550, in St. Louis, Talk Sport 2. Tune in, Audio Boom, Spreaker, and, of course, the Armed Forces Radio Network.
So for Janice Self, Jay Randolph Jr., and myself, Bob Bubka, thank you for being part of our Grill Room family. Please follow us on Twitter at TGR Golf, and you can like us on Facebook and on Instagram at The Grill Room Golf Show.
Thanks for spending some time in The Grill Room. No need to leave a tip. Just come back again next week. The Grill Room.